Welcome to the Talking Fail podcast. This week I'm joined by my lovely brother, Tyler.
Hello. And, I'm here again.
Tyler, why don't you go ahead and tell me who else we're being joined by?
Yeah. So earlier this year, I did a little podcast competition called America's Next Top Podcaster. And I only made it 3 weeks. Spoiler alert, in case you're planning to go to listen to those. But with us, we have David, who won the whole thing. Also, spoiler alert. David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. We didn't actually get to interact on the show, like in the competition. So
I requested that.
Oh, why? Why would you do that?
Oh, this is the wrong time to bring that up.
I only lasted 3 weeks. Come on. That's a bad choice. I guess how was it going through the whole competition and then sticking around all the way through the end?
Stressful is the top word to come to mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was exciting. It was fun. Now that I'm like separated from it by a few months, it's like I can reflect on it in that the graduation goggles kind of way. But being in the middle of it was, oh boy, every waking moment was podcasting and thinking about podcasting and episodes. And I'm happy to not be in it anymore. I can say that much.
Yeah. It was, at least for me, I know it was rough, intense, because, you know, you're doing this fake pod, you know, you're making episodes for your fake podcast. That's homework for the week. I had a day job. I had the family at home. Yep. So it was like all trying to combine all this stuff and hopefully come out with a good podcast. And then people judge it and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't like this thing or I didn't like that thing. And it's like, oh,
yeah, you pour your entire being into one episode of a show that's never going to continue. And then someone being like, yeah, that sucked.
It's yeah, like, okay. You should have thought the concept out more. Like it was for one episode. Come on.
I only had a week. Come on.
I kind of get the feeling that you guys aren't like super passionate about this subject.
That I'm.
You know, if only I'd had 6 months to figure out the format and test it out, and you know, it's in the past. It's fine.
Do you even want to do a podcast about this subject every week?
No, probably not.
I know from my side of things, I learned a lot, met a bunch of great people, and I met David.
And one of the lessons of how to lose.
Yes, how to lose graciously, which I didn't do. I started up a fake podcast group inside from the like a losers club.
And the wild cards was the best. At least you weren't like Reed, which I'll, you know, he is never going to hear this probably because I pretty much abandoned all of us right away.
But the second guy out, he just disappeared.
Burned all bridges.
But it was fun. Yeah, I basically just tried to insert myself back into the show any way that I could. It was for fun. But it was fun. With all this. Apparently there's a big global pandemic going around. And how have you been keeping sane, David?
Video games, mostly. We were talking a little about this before pre-show, but I just did a big move across the country from Virginia to Colorado. And I've been planning this for a long time. And then this pandemic started and I kind of kept going forward with my plan. So I moved to Colorado without a job. Which is great. And I'm just trying to, while trying to figure out how to make money in this time, just fill in the hours with a lot of Animal Crossing and Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. Yeah. Just a spoiler alert. The rest of us, I mean, I guess Will's was working. He's got a job that's deemed essential, but I haven't been working since the 20th of March. Nobody's working. Nobody's making money. So if you're not making money right now, don't feel bad because none of us are, except for Will, apparently.
Oh, congratulations, Will.
It's shocking how little my life has changed.
were you working from home already?
No, I have a job in the automotive industry, so I am not allowed to work at home. It would be impossible to do my job at home, and it is an essential job, so... I can't stop working either.
Gotcha.
So, Will, I haven't asked you at all. I'm a good brother, apparently. But like, is the store, is it busy or more busy, less busy, about the same? Like, how is business?
It's like the slowest it's ever been. Like,
okay,
it's maybe even slower than, like, you know, the day before Christmas.
Okay,
it's really slow. It's shocking.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask, you know, is it worth it, in your opinion, to be going into work? But since there's the potential, I don't know if coworkers or a boss that listens or anything, so I'm not going to ask that because that might be bad. Yeah.
Spill all the beans. Get all the dirt out right now.
Oh, my boss and I know that, like, we definitely don't need both of us there.
Okay.
Because we kind of do the same job just together. To like make it more manageable, and there are tons of times where one of us will just go home because it's like, all right, this is my day. I'm gonna go home now.
I'm taking today off early. Yeah,
and then it's his time the next day. So,
okay, well, let's see. You've got a good system going. So, yeah. I know for me, I've been doing a lot more watching TV. I've actually been, I've been the stay-at-home teacher. The homeschool teacher for my boys, because they're home they're off of school. My school actually just did a thing where it was a parade that they called it a parade, but basically you pull up in the parking lot and the teachers are all there, and they're all spaced out, and you get to like hand in the homework packets, and they give you new homework for the next week. So I think this is gonna be a new thing that they'll do just once a week, of. You know, doing the homework pass off.
Interesting. Okay.
But other than that, it's just playing. You know, like David, I'm playing video games and watching a lot of TV. I beat Ghost Recon or whatever the newest Ghost Recon game. I basically just beat it the other day. So I'm kind of kind of waiting for another paycheck to come in, or another, it's not a paycheck. It's a, the check from the California stimulus, not the stimulus, but it's the unemployment basically.
Gotcha.
But,
such a leech.
Yeah. I'm going to buy Doom Eternal.
This is what I pay my hard earned tax money on, huh?
Yep. Me.
But, I should get Doom Eternal too.
Yeah.
If you want, you can come over to my house and you can play it.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Wait, so controllers are Bluetooth, so like as long as he wipes it down and sanitizes it, you can stand through the window.
There you go.
It's not that far of a walk, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, totally. That actually makes. I'm gonna have to do that. I've been, watching a lot of TV. I actually subscribed or got the free trial for DC Universe. I don't know if either of you have tried it.
Since the beginning, I've been in on that.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm actually like, it's kind of, I've still got enough stuff on Netflix and Amazon I need to watch, but I was like, I'll give it a shot. I've got time to do it now. And I've been really enjoying, I got all caught up on the Harley Quinn animated show, which is very good. I've been watching, I watched the first two seasons of Young Justice back when they first came out, and the third season, because it's been like 10 years since the show was canceled or whatever. But I'm basically rewatching Young Justice because it's been so long, and then I'll jump into the third season that just came out.
Yeah, I want to watch the third season, but I feel like I need to do a rewatch as well, because I got into it pretty late, but it's still, it's been probably about 4 years. So I remember some of the major plot points, but I have forgotten probably a lot of the finer points that probably get referenced or come up, and I'd just be entirely lost with season three.
Yeah. But the one really, I was really surprised with the Harley Quinn one. It was really good. It's got Alan Tudyk he's like at least two characters, if not, and I think he does like little side voices too. But he's they have the he's a Clayface, the guy who looks like all a big mud pile. But he's, because his character is the guy who, before he became Clayface, was an actor. So they totally have hit Alan Tudyk being like this, anytime it's like, oh, we have to go undercover, we'll have Clayface pretend to be this college age girl. And then he totally gets into it. And he's like, it's like, oh, but Bobby saw me in the cafeteria, and I think he might be going out with Susan. And it's just like getting way into his character, like way too much into his characters. And it's great.
Alan Tudyk has found this sort of new career. Like, he's still doing live action stuff, but it really feels like he has found this great career in voiceover work. And I am excited every time that I discover he's in a show or find out that he is going to be in something. Like, he was the chicken in Moana.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the chicken in Moana, and I think it just makes chicken noises. But they brought in Alan Tudyk for that. Like,
perfect.
I kind of have that same reaction whenever I see that Brendan Fraser is in something.
Brendan Fraser.
Yes, Brendan Fraser.
Which he's in one of the DC shows.
Doom Patrol.
Yeah. I started watching that one. I'm enjoying it, but there's so many shows that I'm watching now that are DC based. And so I'm kind of spacing him out a bit.
And
yeah,
Brendan Fraser really just isn't enough of a main character. Like, I just want it to be the Brendan Fraser show.
Well, doesn't he have like a bunch of like alimony that he is forced to pay?
Yeah.
I think that's the case. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Got married to somebody worse than Carol Baskin over there.
So I'm guessing you guys have watched The Tiger King then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think our last two episodes of this podcast have just been Tiger King based.
That's fine. I don't have anything new to say about it.
Well, I mean, do.
But they came out with that new episode last weekend.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that yet.
Okay. It's like
a Google Hangouts.
Yeah, I saw that it seemed like it was like a bunch of them on little tiny screens with Joel McHale, which I love Joel McHale, but mm-hmm. I hate Jeff Lowe. So,
well, he gets interviewed in that. I'll let Will talk later, but one of the things I thought was really funny was when Joel McHale's talking to one of the line keepers, and the guy's like, oh yeah, I get noticed in Walmart now. And Joel McHale's like, oh, how does it feel to be a celebrity? And he's like, oh, I'm not a celebrity. You're a celebrity. And Joel McHale like stops him and he goes, was a celebrity. 2009 was a great year. So I thought that was a great moment. But Will, what did you think of the, did you have thoughts?
It's amazing how the production of such a successful show, when it's reduced to like Google Hangouts, it's like, wow, we're better than them at this.
So go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was gonna say, a lot of them can't have stable internet connections. A lot of them probably live in trailers.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I've enjoyed doing the production side of things. And so I'm like, okay, so Netflix, they had like what, six people that they interviewed plus Joel McHale. So it's like, okay, they had to ship out like six sets of iPhones. Everybody was wearing AirPods. So it's like, okay, there's a bunch of rednecks that you're talking to. Jeff Lowe, I'm guessing Jeff Lowe has his own set of AirPods, but everybody else, I'm like, I don't think you own AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, even I'm sure if Jeff Lowe, yeah. Even if Jeff Lowe did own AirPods, he told them he didn't just to get the free set.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure like they're told, oh, you have to ship them back. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do? Come to my house? I got tigers. So I was like, okay, yeah, they must have shipped out all these iPhones. They shipped out all these, the Bluetooth headsets and stuff. It's like, and then I'm sure they had to send out other stuff too, like a tripod and, because it's like you have to make this idiot proof because you're literally sending these to like rednecks to have them set it up themselves. So that must have been really interesting.
I also watched on YouTube, there's like this hour and a half documentary that is not Tiger King, and it was made in like 2016. So they totally, jumped the gun. But it's
too early.
Yeah, it's not edited like nearly as well as Tiger King, so I kind of understand it. But there was, I think it was in this, is where I saw it, this scene where Joe Exotic is out with a cow, and he's saying, Donald Trump said that if he went out in the street and just shot somebody in the head, it wouldn't affect his polls. And then he says, well, I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to say it. And he shoots the cow in the head on camera.
What? Wow.
Yeah, there was some stuff recently from Rick Kirkham, the documentary guy that had followed for a while. It, like, said that he had a bunch of footage of Joe Exotic doing stuff like that, just basically doing terrible things to animals. But that all got burned up in that mysterious fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the fire? Who do you think started it?
Somebody that Joe Exotic paid.
Okay.
Hmm.
I think it was a Joe Exotic thing. I'm kind of leaning towards Joe Exotic doing it himself.
Okay.
But, but him paying somebody is basically the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, oh, he had a fight with what's his name? And then, a fight about the footage. And then he goes, okay, well, I'm just going to leave. And he changes the locks and then leaves town. And then it mysteriously burns down that night or the night after.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And remember when there was like all that paperwork and like computer stuff right when he was leaving the zoo? He burned all that stuff too. It's like, okay, well, when he needs to get rid of something, I guess he burns stuff.
I mean, fire is the great equalizer. Yeah. You know?
Pure.
David, did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
Honestly, I don't think she did.
Okay, I lean towards she killed him, fed him to the tigers. So far I subscribe to that, but
I don't know. I don't think there's enough evidence for me as somebody casually watching on my couch to condemn her
for murder. Okay, yeah, okay, maybe I'm harsh.
I don't need evidence. I just need the court of public opinion to condemn someone.
Oh, they're ready to do that at the drop of a hat.
It will be interesting after for the ones in the the zoos in the documentary and just zoos in general, even not even tiger, these kind of weird tiger zoos, but it'll be weird to see. It'll be interesting to see how things, if they recover after all this.
That's the crazy thing is, you're going to have people who are now going to flock to them if they are still in operation. I know some tigers have been rescued from them, but if these places are still in operation, you're going to have people who are going to want to go to see.
I want to see the place that Joe Exotic was at. I get that. But I don't know if it'll be enough to save, to save the zoo if it's going under.
No,
it'll be interesting.
I hope that enough was shed on the light of how terrible these people are to these animals that some real work can be done to get them out of there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that like the documentary kind of touches on, but doesn't really focus too much, is like actually how to solve the problems.
Joe Exotic said at one point in one of his interviews that was not the Netflix thing, it said, if I ever go bankrupt, I'm euthanizing all the animals here. It's like, that's how much he cares about the animals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think everybody that is interviewed, they're pretty clear that Joe doesn't he might have cared about the animals at the beginning, but he got to the point where it was more about the fame and staying afloat.
That's what it's like with podcasting, right? We all started this with the passion, and now it's just
I guess it's Tuesday. I wonder if David's going to be on, if David can make it.
Yeah, well, I'm just, I'm over here fanning myself with $1,000 bills.
Oh, they finally sent you your winnings?
That's right,
for the competition. Nice.
Actually these headphones I'm wearing right now, for those not in the Twitch stream, are things that I've won. So I did get something. A show that's going to be on the Frog Pants Network that I haven't finished putting together yet.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you do you have any ideas for that, or
yes,
do you need a co-host?
No, I've recorded two episodes, and I'm going to record a few more before I start putting them out, just to give myself a buffer. But I need to I need to get that going.
Yeah, I do this every week, and then I've got a kind of a more music based podcast that I'm kind of like I keep not doing the homework for, and because it's like, oh, I can play video games, I guess. So like, I have all this time that I could be using productively, but I don't.
Right. It's that whole thing where it's like, well, we finally, I mean, except for Will over there, who has, you know, an essential job and continues to make money. Oh.
Free time must be nice.
Let me tell you, it is for the first few days. And then after a while, you want structure. You crave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I do kind of start going crazy on the weekends. Like, what am I supposed to do? I want to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a concept or a you know, what's the, for this new show that you're doing, David?
The show is called Hit Me One More Time. And, it is a nostalgia reflection podcast where a guest will come on. I have a co-host, and the two of us might do some episodes, just the two of us every now and then, but the idea is to continue bringing guests on, and the guests will bring something from their childhood that they loved, but haven't necessarily revisited as an adult.
That's cool.
And the idea is to look at it now through the eyes of our adult selves and see, is this good?
Hmm.
Or were we just kids?
Hmm. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
My dream movie for that is Hook, because I have always thought that Hook is garbage, but people think that it was great and it wasn't, so I'm really excited to get that one on there.
Nice. I think I've watched the entirety of Hook, but I've never been, you know, it's never drawn me in.
So, yeah, because it's not good. But I'm not gonna give it all away here. Just stay tuned for that show.
Oh, man,
Robin Williams, most overrated actor of all time.
Wow. Okay. I kind of want to dig into this a little bit. Tell me more.
Okay, maybe just comedian.
Okay.
He's a little too spastic for me.
I can see that. I can get that. It is a certain type of humor.
But the man had hairy arms. I'll give him that.
Hairy arms.
He might have had more than just hairy arms, but yeah.
No.
No, it's just the arms. Everything else is just smooth.
He waxed everything except for the arms.
Oh, God. I hope not. That sounds painful.
Well, you know, you gotta be, if you're committed.
Yeah, I will say that I do remember like seeing bits of his stand-up and never finding it kind of as good as, you know, him in those movies that we love him for.
Mm-hmm.
The times where he actually was kind of following a script and was a little bit more having to rein it in. But still had the freedom to give it his own charm, you know, Good Morning Vietnam, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, Aladdin.
Aladdin, yeah. Those are times when I found him kind of his best, his most charming. But yeah, his stand-up when he was just kind of allowed to go off on his own didn't always click for me.
Hmm. I always wondered, like, they probably would lie at this point because he's passed on, but the engineers who had to work with him during Aladdin, like, were they entertained by all the multiple takes that I'm sure happened, where it's like, okay, Robin, please just say what's on paper. Can we just do one clean take like that? And then you can riff on it. And, you know, I've always wondered about how those sessions went.
Have you guys seen Into the Spider-Verse?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So apparently you should look these up. I don't know if you've seen these yet or not, but John Mulaney, who voiced Spider-Pig,
yes,
they would always just let him at the beginning just do riffs with curse words and make it dirty, just go crazy, just so you're not tempted when we're actually recording to, you know, slip in a curse word. And there is some tape out there of him doing the lines with, you know, the occasional F-bomb in there, and it's pretty great.
Huh, I have to look those up because that sounds really. I really like John Mulaney in general.
Oh yeah, best working stand-up in my opinion right now.
So now I got to think about my answer. I haven't thought about who's best working stand-up, but it might be I might agree with you. I'm not sure. I got to run numbers.
It was like a 30 minute break, but
okay. I started talking and I didn't have a new topic to segue to. I know Will has seen Birds of Prey, kind of jumping back to DC. David, have you seen Birds of Prey?
So far twice.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Wow. Was it twice because you loved it so much that you had to see it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Tyler, what is,
so,
do you like
so
it?
I know that Will is not a big fan of it.
I was like medium. Okay parts.
Okay. I definitely enjoy, I had low expectations going in and I definitely enjoyed it more than I was expecting to. I actually
Same
think
here.
It was a pretty, pretty good movie. I disliked Suicide Squad. Like I was okay, but I definitely enjoyed Birds of Prey more than I did Suicide Squad.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's the correct. I don't think there's a lot of people out there who will argue with that. I agree. I don't really like Suicide Squad that much.
I don't know if it's because I just got off of watching the Harley Quinn cartoon and some Young Justice and some Doom Patrol and, you know, some of those other DC shows. But I was like, I was halfway into Birds of Prey and I was like, you know, I know that Suicide Squad 2 is coming from the guy who made Guardians of the Galaxy.
James Gunn. Yep.
I really like Shazam. I'm kind of digging the where DC is going if they keep it up. Like it's kind of a slow ramp to goodness.
Yeah, it's because they are no longer trying to copy Marvel.
Yeah.
They've been upfront about this. It's just like they've given over the keys to the filmmakers. Like just go make the movies that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it isn't super contradictory to whatever else has happened in the other movies, whatever, just go for it. And even then, I'm not fully sure. I mean, production's been shut down, so who knows when we're going to get this movie. But Matt Reeves' Batman, I don't know. They have not said yet if that's going to be, you know, like early Batfleck Batman, or if it is just its own thing altogether and
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's supposed to fit in either, but I'd definitely be really interested to see how they handle all that stuff. I know one of the things they did early on for like right before Suicide Squad came out, their DC was very like, okay, well, we can only have one version of Suicide Squad. So like I know Arrow was doing, they kind of started dipping their toe into Suicide Squad plot stuff. And they're like, you gotta kill off all the Suicide Squad characters because
it was Will Smith. They had to appease Will Smith, so they killed off the
That's what they did, because they killed off the Deadshot they had on Arrow. Yeah, okay. I was assuming that it was a DC thing of like, you know, we can only have one version of this character floating around at a time.
No, because they kept showing up a couple of more times.
Okay.
Smith requires a sacrifice.
Yeah, more or less. And now he's not even going to be in the next one. So.
Oh, what a jerk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like after I was watching Birds of Prey and I was like, oh yeah, I like this version of Harley Quinn. I like the cartoon version. You know, they've come to accept the multiple versions of the same character. But I like what they're doing. They're just kind of not holding so tightly to everything anymore.
It's
really good.
Yeah, it's the right way to go. You know, Marvel, the MCU would not work without Kevin Feige. And Kevin Feige might be a one of a kind. And maybe, you know, there are probably other people out there. I think Geoff Johns, if given enough time, Geoff Johns and the drive for it, he could have done a whole, you know, DC EU that's interconnected in these crazy stories. But it's really, you know, when Iron Man came out, mm-hmm. everybody was just kind of like, yeah, okay. Like expectations were so low.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige could basically do whatever he wanted and it turned out great. And then DC spent too long trying to kind of match that. And now that they're just kind of like, well, whatever, just have fun.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff they should, like, they shouldn't have tried to do the, they tried to jump straight to the Avengers team up movie too early, and there's all those criticisms that everyone's talked about a million times.
Yeah.
The one thing, like, the with Marvel, they're, everything's connected, but then it's like it kind of hurts things. Like, if they wanted, now that Disney could do Daredevil or those other characters in the movies, like, they don't, they're kind of stuck because they did a version of Daredevil and they already said that it was, you know, it was in New York, and they've referenced the Hulk and the Avengers. So it's like, you now, do you have to recast and reboot it, or like, how do you deal with that? Because it used to be a TV show and now it's not, you know, it kind of hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's tough because you also, it also hits a point too, where it gets hard for us to keep track and watch all, like, I haven't watched all of the Marvel stuff on Netflix yet. It's just, there's so much. At what point do we as an audience, you know, how much of it can be important before we stop caring? I know a lot of people who have just, like, not really even tried with Infinity War and Endgame because it's just, it's so much.
Yeah, there's so much, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, you know, with when Endgame was coming out, it was like, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if Coulson would show up in the movie again, you know, with, you know, the Endgame movie. And it was like, there's no way that people would understand that character because, mm-hmm. you know, he's been on the TV show and it's going to have huge implications for the TV show side of things. And
the Iron Fist could show up.
Oh, no, thank you.
Season 2 was better than season 1.
I still haven't watched it.
Okay. I'm not a big comics person. So, like, my introduction to all of these comic things are really from TV and movies. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know the character of Iron Fist other than the Netflix show. But going into it, it felt like, oh, so he's like Batman, but kind of, he's a white guy, but, you know, he's been in the Asian world. So it's kind of, like, I don't know if that is, like, is it offensive? I'm not 100% sure, but he's also like Batman because he's rich.
League of Shadows.
I thought it wasn't a great first season, and then season 2 was pretty good.
In the first season, they were like teaching them the moves for like the fight scenes, basically minutes before they were filming them.
Yeah, I think I read or heard something about that where he's not a martial arts guy.
Yeah.
He's just a plain old actor, not a martial arts actor.
Right. Imagine, you know, whatever your hobby is, like, for Tyler, for you, I mean, you're a musician, right? Like, you play music yourself?
No, but if I tried to, I would suck. I mean, if I tried to act and I was supposed to, my character was supposed to be playing a guitar, I'd have to like learn where my fingers are supposed to go before. And it's not going to be muscle memory or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to practice before, like, weeks beforehand. You know, if I'm going up there and I'm trying to strum out Wonderwall and I'm like looking at my hand, trying to see where I got to place those fingers for the chords, it's not going to go well for anyone.
Yeah. It's not going to look good. So, but no, I totally got that. The Daredevil stuff, those fight scenes were always really good.
Yeah.
Daredevil, you know, he's a blind guy who can, you know, punch and kick stuff, and he's got sticks and things, and those fight scenes were always really good. But then when you got to the martial arts guy of Iron Fist, it was like, oh, these aren't really that great. Like, it's okay.
We didn't get to see him punch a dragon.
Yeah, they never showed any of that stuff. You know, it's like, it was all like off-screen hype built up. He's like, oh yeah, I totally punched a dragon.
Did he ever walk past a really powerful magnet and his fist just got stuck to?
No.
No? Okay.
If only, though.
That would have been funny. Netflix, hire me for season 3 of The Iron Fist.
They can't.
I've got some bad news.
Yeah, we'll talk to Will off camera.
Yeah, Will, I know you've been looking forward to this. You have your pitch ready to go, but might want to burn it. Like you're Joe Exotic leaving a zoo.
I'm already signed on for season 3 of Luke Cage, season 3 of or 4 of Jessica Jones.
Will, is your version of Luke Cage actually in a cage?
Yep.
I'm beginning to see a theme of
I almost said Nick Cage earlier too.
Nick Cage as Luke Cage.
And Daredevil, I'm guessing it is a guy who does like motorcycle jumps over buses.
Yeah, but he's blind, so he keeps missing the ramp and just going into the buses.
I'm back in. All right, sounds great.
Yeah, I've come back around. Yeah, sounds good. Can we actually put it on the DC Universe streaming service, even though it's MC?
It'd be so great if they got Charlie Cox to like play Batman on something.
Oh, that'd be great. Because that's the thing. It's like once, like his contract, I think, is up, right? Like, but like, yeah. You know, even if it 10 years later, you could have actors jump around. They don't care that one comic book movie, one company owns this thing and that thing. And, you know, Nick Cage was going to be Superman. And then now he's, he's a Spider-Noir guy in the Marvel
Ghost
movie.
Rider.
Oh yeah, and he was Ghost Rider too. Yeah,
he got to voice Superman.
Oh, there was an animated one,
Lego,
right?
Or the Lego. I think like the Lego movie.
Oh, was it a Lego one? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah, at a certain point, what's his name from Daredevil? He'll get a job opportunity. It's going to be DC eventually if he stays in the business.
I mean, hopefully he's a great actor.
Yeah, he was really good. The Daredevil stuff and the Punisher shows were both the best, I think, of the ones that came out.
I hard agree.
And it was amazing how well he did considering he was blind.
Yep, the actor, they had to go find a blind actor.
Yeah.
I read a thing on Reddit, so I don't know if it's actually true or not, but I heard
it's true. So
okay, continue. Perfect. I've got a lot of cool stuff then that I gotta. But when Charlie Cox went in to read for Daredevil, he wasn't familiar with the character, and so he didn't know that he was supposed to be a blind guy. So he read all did the readings and stuff as if he was sighted, and then it was like later on he had to go back and like, hey, can I do it again, because I didn't realize it was supposed to be blind. But I mean, he got the job, so he did something right.
But what other job interview in the world could you be like, oh, can I change my answers to those questions? Can we redo that? When I said, where do I see myself in 5 years? And I was like, I don't know, possibly have eaten the most ham. I realized that wasn't a good answer to the career question.
Should have said most pizza.
There you go. Yeah. That's the drive they're looking for.
That or just like, well, your job, like whoever you're interviewing with, like, you know, it's like, well, I want to be in your spot.
Right. Like what? I had an interview recently where like, the person was like, I have like standard questions I could ask you. And we just kind of riffed for a little bit on that whole, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, I don't employed.
Yeah, making money, like,
right? Not homeless. What do you want?
Yeah, I've been in a position now where I've been hire people who are part timers, and so it's kind of a little, we're not really trying to figure out, their deepest personality traits or anything, but it's like I don't want to do the BS question. I don't want to sit there and pretend to ask a question, or if I don't actually care, I'm not going to ask a question. So I try to, I try to be straightforward with stuff.
Do you ask them if they're blind?
No, I don't.
I legally don't think you can.
I don't think I, yeah. Now that I think about it, I don't think I can.
If they can fool you, they deserve the job then.
That's true. I mean, it's not like we work with expensive equipment or anything. But, I think we're going to have to, we're getting close to our time.
Yeah, we're at 39 minutes right now.
Okay, that's a good solid time. You don't have to say it, Will.
It's about the time the listener's like looking at their podcatcher and it's just like, oh, God, come on, it's time, guys.
Come on, wrap this up, guys. Come on. David, where can people find you if they want to check out some of your stuff?
So I do some other shows and I've got this new show coming up, and that's all fun and exciting. But if you want to find info on all of that, just follow me on Twitter. The username is Davluz. That's DAVLUZ. And you'll find the rest of my stuff from there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you know, hopefully we can have you come back on. I didn't realize you're such a big, DC and Marvel guy. So
Oh,
we
yeah.
talk about all kinds of stuff. Cool. You know, we're here every week, every Tuesday. We know you all have nothing better to do than check us out. So do that. Will, you want to hit the music?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Goodbye,
Bye.
everyone.
Bye.
And we're back for the outro bit. Tyler, say something funny.
Something funny.
Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.